Welcome. I give you my peace. I wanted to just briefly just say this. It's not a coincidence that today's text was Luke 8:25. Where is your faith? I think you'll understand now as I read Father's message to you. I met with him yesterday, and this is what he had to say. Hold on one second whilst I mute all of you. Okay. Father said, "Dear team, many tests and trials have been given to all of you. In some cases, I have tested you to the brink of your faith. At times, you have all questioned me. I am doing all of this to prepare you for the future. This is not new news to any of you. I am toughening you up. And though you have said to me, 'I cannot take much more, Father,' I have shown you that you are much stronger than you would give yourselves credit. Much must still take place before my son's announcement. I am not speaking of more tests for all of you. I am speaking of all the hearts that will accept or reject my son's arrival. You must all search your hearts and ask these questions. 1. Am I strong enough to stand up against the world and support Triland? This does not only apply to the outside world, but within your own families. 2. Are you willing to leave them and work alongside my son to complete these tasks? Many of your families will not accept him, and they will believe you to all be fools. 3. Are you willing to sacrifice yourselves for the needs of mankind? You are no different than those who served with Jesus. They gave up their lives. I am not asking you to do this. I am merely sharing with you things that I have seen that haunt some of your hearts. 4. Are you convicted that you truly believe that Triland is my second son? Never has my son ever asked you to do one thing for himself. He has always asked you to serve me. Do you believe that this will change in the future? I can tell you that it will not. He will always stay true to the tasks at hand, and he will not falter, no matter what any man thinks. Beloved, we are in the stages of the final touches. I am trying to gently mold you, encourage you, and teach you stamina and endurance. Can you all now see this? Never will you be alone. Never. Even in the future, you will be paired up, two guardians working together in certain areas. And on a certain occasion, you will stand alone, but I will be with you. So are you then really alone? No, you are not. I have never forsaken any of you, and I will continue to support and love you through all of this. Now take heart and be strong. The tide of this world and all the evil that is in it will soon be unleashed in a way that mankind has never suffered under before. I am not telling you this to scare you, but as a matter of fact, to prepare you. You can all do this. Why? I will remind you once again, I did not create you to handle difficult. I created you to handle impossible. Now all you need to do is trust me. Stay by my son's side and carry out your 3 tasks. Oh, I should also tell you that I have seen the future and all of you are victorious. I love you all and look forward to the day when we can be together for all eternity. Know that I love all of you." Let me unmute you. I wanted to just talk about this subject for a bit, and I would like to open it up to anybody that would like to share anything that's on their heart at this moment about this. I'm thankful that Father has brought this subject up and that we're discussing it. I have known for years that your families will turn their backs on you at times, that they will reject you, and they will think that you're fools. I will tell you that I've already experienced this within my own extended family. It's not easy to accept, but what I can tell you is that in time, I feel that some of your extended families that are not new apostolic will probably accept me more than some of your family that is new apostolic. And the reason being is that the apostles have never spoken of me. It's not in our doctrine. You can't really find, per se, me anywhere being spelled out in Scripture. Father did that on purpose. We know that. But I wanted to tell you that there will come a time, and the interesting thing about Father bringing this subject up is that he actually recently spoke with Starlight about this, because her family, none of them are new apostolic. She's the only one. And Atmos, you also are in that same boat. And he basically told her that most of her family is going to turn their back on her. And I said to her a while ago when she and I started, I said, I feel in my heart that there will come a period of time where your family will all of a sudden realize that you are who you say you are, and they will come running to you because they will have no one else to turn to. And where Father brings out the point and says that there's going to be an evil unleashed on this earth that mankind's never suffered under before, I have felt this coming for a very long time. Father has told me about it, and now that he's brought it out, I want to just emphasize to you, all of us have lived through some pretty horrific things and are still going through some pretty horrific things. And when you and I are going through those things, we say to him, as he said, I cannot take this. I can't handle this. You and I can both look back now and marvel over the fact that we did, that we made it through, that we're still faithful to Father, that we didn't walk away and throw our hands up and go, I'm done. Although I have said that to Father many times, and he just retorts me and says, no, you're not, and it's just worthless for me to even say it. But anyway, I don't want you to think that what's coming is something that you can't handle, and that's why Father said we're in the final touches. I know for a fact, most of you, I know what's been going on with you in your lives. I have had conversations with all of you with the struggles that you've had, where we've been on the phone crying together, praying together, wrestling with Father that he would help us through certain points. And now you can see why Father did all of that. It is not easy for us to have our family turn their backs on us, to call us stupid or crazy or foolish. And I'm going to tell you that I have been told different things like that from some of my family members. And I will tell you that it hurts more than if a perfect stranger were to say it, because we love these people. I want to just open up the floor right now to anybody who would like to talk about anything that's going on currently in their life that they have concerns about, or even this subject, or anything. I don't have a lot for the meeting today. I have about four other things I'm going to discuss. I've asked Atmos and Starlight to share a few experiences, but that's pretty much it. So I would just like to open this up to anybody who would like to share anything right now. So go.
I think that as far as families turning on you, when I was a little kid, my parents, when they first started going to the New Apostolic Church, and my dad decided this is what we're going to do. My dad comes from a Catholic background, and somebody just used the phrase the other day to me that his wife was a recovering Catholic, and I kind of like that phrase. But when he decided that's what he wanted to do, and let me also say that none of his family is practicing Catholic, okay, just his mom was, just my grandma. But when he became Christian, his whole family, I mean, it was like a joke. And he has 10 siblings. So every family gathering, it's always just been this big, huge joke that we're this Christian family, that we're this, I don't know, goody two-shoes, basically, is what they make it out to be. But over the years, you've seen some of them kind of soften up a little bit. And the only thing that I would say is that to keep in mind that when these people, because some of them are going to be some of our even maybe more immediate family, because I have quite a few siblings myself, that when they do turn their back, that when things happen, that we make sure that we don't carry too much of a, oh, now you need me, or now you need this. Because I know that when I watched one of my aunts come to my dad, he could have had that mentality because she was the worst one to him. It was the one that was, I mean, every single time we had a gathering, she was the one that had to point something out. She was the one that had to ridicule him and badger him. And she was the one that came to him to need something. And I really admired my dad because he took her privately. He didn't make a show out of it in front of the rest of the family to say, oh, look, Marge is the one who needed somebody to help her. And he took her aside and prayed with her. And, you know, to remember that it's not about anything but what they need in that moment.
Thank you.
To put herself aside.
Yeah, that's nice.
Anyone else?
I don't know if anybody else has experienced this recently. While I've been struggling here in the physical world financially, like I'm sure many of us are, it's almost felt like, I think the best way I can describe it is like the calm before the storm. Like, it seems like Satan has almost completely left me alone for the past couple of weeks.
You are lucky, my friend.
Very lucky.
Or blessed, I should say.
Yeah. I mean,
he can hear you, you know.
Don't get me wrong, I'm thankful that he has, but it's unnerving. Like, it's kind of like, okay, what's coming next? Like, that anticipation has been eating away at me.
Huh. Yeah, it feels like instead of just poking you and poking you and poking you, he's building up for one big punch to the face.
Yeah, exactly.
I can tell all of you that on your behalf, Starlight went and sought him out on Thursday under Father's guidance and had a real big heart-to-heart with him. You can share that if you want, Starlight.
Sure. Well, I had been struggling with some things, and I had gone to Father pleading with him the day before, but I was driving to a meeting, and I was talking with Jesus and trying to figure out what's going on because we've been under attack, it feels like, you know, in all of us. And so I asked Father, I was like, well, what am I supposed to do? I just can't, you know, like, I feel like I'm just standing here and everybody is thinking, but, you know, and he had said to me, and he had me go after Satan, and he had like all of his buddies. You know, there's hundreds of them, but I had taken him by the throat and had my sword pressed up underneath into his throat, and I told him I had said enough of this. You know, we have enough of our own problems and struggles that we're going through, and you either you need to call off all of them, or I will kill them, my team. We will kill them all because we have enough of our own issues. We don't need you meddling and making things worse. That's the short story of it, but he ended up calling off them, and there was some peace for at least a day. But Father had also said that, you know, I can go ahead and do that. He said, but it's not going to solve our problems. It'll just give us a little bit of peace and a little bit of reprieve from it. But each of us is going through our own struggles and our own battles, you know, like he said in the letter, to, you know, put us through whatever trials we need. And each one of them is a personal struggle that, you know, that each of us needs to go through and take care of, and that, you know, that he's there and he will help all of us. welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, yes.
I had a brief meeting with Father this morning, and I could feel that Satan was still being who he is. So I said to my lead and to Michael, I said, could you just take a message to Satan on my behalf and just say this to him, or else? He said, and he will know exactly what that means. The or else happened back in March when he was attacking Tom. And when I had my hand around his throat, I said to him at that time, if you don't back off, I will bind you until Jesus comes. And then I threw in the caveat of, and I will bind all of your demons for a period of time until they are needed to cause whatever trauma Father has got in store for them. So he seems to have backed off a little bit for now. Nuke, you better stay on your feet, though. He might come visiting you. Okay. He also said to me, I said, why is he picking on Starlight so much? And he said, she is his muse. He finds her interesting. I said, that's great. I find him interesting, too. So.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add? Anything that's on your heart? Anything you want to talk about?
Hey, Tryline, I would like to share.
I've had a unique.
Oh, go ahead.
You go ahead.
Okay, so.
Mine was just an anecdote. You go ahead.
This morning in service, I assisted, and it was, first of all, Priest Rocha, the Holy Spirit, just absolutely served us so meaningfully this morning. It was awesome.
Good.
And with power and authority. And the word was really nice because we see what we're all dealing with. Well, when I was sitting in the congregation and listening, the thought came to me, and so many times we say, why do I have to keep dealing with this? Really? Why? Why? And then we ask, do I have to deal with this again? And those are the things that all of us have said, right?
Yep.
And we all continue to say that.
Oh, yeah.
But Holy Spirit gave me a different way to rephrase that. Father, you know, I know you know everything, but in this situation, you're wrong. And I know better. And when we think of it that way, that's exactly what we're saying when we're saying why, and when we're saying really, again, because we're basically calling Father out and saying, you do know everything, but in this situation, I know better, and, you know, you're wrong. We would never go to Father and talk to him like that. So the next time we have those thoughts, why me? Why this? Do I have to do this again? And I don't understand this, and I don't agree. The next time we think that, think of the rewording that we would never use to Heavenly Father.
Good point. Although I will say that I've said to him, I don't know what you're thinking, but none of this makes any sense. But anyway. Tracy, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I have a unique perspective on the situation, and as you being my brother. We joked with a friend today at lunch, and I've joked with some other friends. You know, the whole Peter denying Jesus three times. And I said, so somewhere down the line, you know, someone says, hey, those Rybacks, specifically that Jim Ryback, do you know him? What are you going to say? And the one joked and went, well, you know, I'd be like, Peter. I went, okay, seriously, what are you going to say? You know, what are you gonna think? What's gonna happen? And you know, he the one today, he joked and went, oh, wow, I never thought about it. Some other friends have said, well, why would you even ask that? We would say, well, you know, whatever is on our heart, or we would defend, or whatever. I went, okay, I'm just asking, because we always try to make Peter the bad guy, but at that time they were gonna kill him. You know, and their perspective of what we're going through now versus what the disciples went through then is becoming a different reality for me personally. I've always told the trial line, I'll be there for you. Always have, always will. And even saying that, I hear myself go, really? Are you sure? You know, are you sure you're going to be there? And I go, well, yeah, I know I can. But, you know, I've never had someone put a gun up to my head or a sword up to my throat and go, you know, are you sure you want to follow them? And then actually it was brought up during the closing prayer for the brothers and sisters that go through that struggle of faith, where even their lives are on the line for them daily for their faith. So, you know, it was interesting how Father brought that, you know, with the evil coming. So we might think it's not a big deal to say, yes, we follow, but I'm going to start praying for those that have a faith that I can't even comprehend, because their faith is, am I going to die today because I love Jesus?
Yeah.
So that's just something to think about. We know Father's not going to test our faith and kill us or let anything happen to us because of our job here, but there might be other people that might. It might happen to come down to that, you know.
Correct.
In the coming
for us,
year
death is
so.
Too easy. That's not going to happen for us. We got to stay.
Yeah.
Sorry to put it that way, but you know what? I don't have time to have anybody take you out, and then I got to replace. We don't have time for that. So, and I already made that. Had Father make that promise before this whole team was birthed, and I'll just bring this point up. I made him promise me that nobody who accepts this position on this team would ever be harmed, or their families or loved ones. And I prefaced it with, you and I have two different ideas of what harmed is. And he said, no, your idea of what harmed is. And I went, okay, fine. So we don't need to fear that at all. Am I going to tell you right now that people are going to get up all in your business and get to the point that they are going to be very scary? Yeah, they are. And that's where your teams have been commissioned by me to make sure that no one touches you. Okay? We're in the end where Father said he's putting the final touches on. He's prepping all of us for the horrible things that are coming. But I want to preface it. I want to preface this. There are so many wonderful, amazing things that are going to happen because of your yes word to Father and the things that you're going to do in his name. This world is going to know who you are. And not for your ego standpoint are you doing any of this stuff, but it's simply to magnify and glorify Father and show this world there's one specific way to become the bride of Christ. Even though this world has believed, it doesn't matter which church you belong to or how you get there, Father is all accepting and Father's going to let everybody in. No, he's not. There's one path. You and I are the ones who help define what that is, and then we stand guard to make sure nothing foreign weasels its way in and starts tearing things apart. That's our task. I'm stepping off my soapbox. Anybody else? Okay. I asked Atmos if he would be willing to share little Jeremiah's ordeal and then the blessings that came from Father through that period of time. So Atmos, be so kind.
Sure. First of all, I'd like to thank you, Triland, and the team for all your prayers and support. We've received a lot of it over the last 3 weeks since he's been born. We've had some ups and downs, and it's been quite the experience. When he was first born, I mean, as you know, he has first been diagnosed with Hirschsprung's disease, and when he was first born, he was a perfectly normal little baby. And after about 24 hours, he stopped eating, and he wouldn't suckle at the breast anymore, and he went about 12 to 13 hours without food. They finally took him down to the nurse's station so we could get some sleep at about 1 o'clock in the morning. And then about an hour later, they came into the room, let us know what he was throwing up green, and then they sent him to NICU right away, and he was being prepped for tests and scans and whatever else. So we got to go down and see him in the NICU. And while we were down there, there was a nurse, a charge nurse, and her name was Melody, and she is the one that Tranquility, if you had a twin sister, this is her, and I mean identical twin, physically and spiritually, and Tranquility-wise, I mean, we were both just a mess and a wreck, and he was screaming bloody murder because his stomach was distended. He was in a ton of pain. You know, it's just what happens in Hirschsprung's is that the colon is lacking nerve endings and everything backs up, so you can just imagine. And his belly was three times the size of what it should normally be, and it was pale white, and you could see the veins in his tummy. And we were just that. We were just crying over the top of him while he was in his transport isolate. And she came up to us and she said, I'd like to pray with you. And we were like, of course, yeah, absolutely. And you talk about just the most calm, tranquil person and an amazing, amazing connection with Father. She later told us that, you know, after she prayed with us, that Father sometimes, and she did call him Father, that sometimes he tells her to go ahead and pray with people, and others he tells her to kind of just pray quietly to herself. So she has quite the connection with him, and so, I mean, that was an amazing experience in itself. After he got done with his tests and everything, they found out exactly what he had 4 days before he went into surgery. And then when we were finally able to hold him, you know, he had his little IV and all the wires for his heart and his breathing and all that good stuff, you know, while we're holding him. We finally got to do a little skin-to-skin, so I had the opportunity to do that. So I took it, and he laid down in the chair, and he laid on my chest, and I decided I'd just go ahead and give him a healing. So I got into the center of my mind, and when I got there, Raphael was there. And he said, I'm here to help you serve with the healing. He said, you know, I'll help you go through it. And I was like, okay. I mean, as you can imagine, I was very tired. I mean, we had been up for almost 2 days straight at that point. And just even being able to ground myself was damn near impossible. So I laid down, got in the center of my mind for the first time, and I don't know how long. And Raphael and my healing master and I walked through all seven chakras. The first one was a little dirty, so we cleaned it up, and the rest of them were fairly normal. We got to his heart chakra, and Father and Jesus were there. They were waiting on us. So when we got there, Father did quite a few things. The first one was, before I even became New Apostolic, and I had my first healing, Father gave me a crown, and that crown represented the fact that I was to become New Apostolic someday. But when we got there, Father took that crown from me and gave it to Jeremiah. And he said, one day you will be New Apostolic. And he said, even now your name is written in my son's book. So that, of course, was amazing because he has not been sealed yet. It was just an affirmation to me that he will be. It's just a matter of time. It may not happen in the normal process, but it will happen. And then Jesus put his hand on him, said a few words over him, and then I can't even remember, you know, everything that took place, unfortunately, because there was a lot that was going on, but one thing in Triland, I was closer to it when I talked to you about it. So if I missed something that you remember, please fill it in for me. But
okay,
Father did. I asked Father if, you know, there was some way that he could just leave his love and Jesus's love and Holy Spirit's love in his heart chakra, so that he always felt them there and he always knew that they were there, so that he always had that little bit of that love tugging on his heartstrings no matter what situation he is in, he could call upon that. So what Father did was he allowed us to plant the tree in the center of his heart, and it's a golden tree, and it's got a rather thin trunk to it, and it has five leaves on it. There's one leaf at the very tippy top, and they look like big tobacco leaves, because they're just a really big, wide, broad leaf. And they're all gold. And the top one represents Father. The two below that represent Jesus and the Holy Spirit, And then there's two more below that that represent myself and Danielle. So he's got the love of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Mom and Dad in that tree, in his heart chakra, that's just not going anywhere. And I'm trying to remember what else there was that came from that. Trying, did I miss anything that I told you?
No, I think that's okay. Everything.
And since then, I mean, as you can imagine, especially for Danielle, it's been a harrowing experience for her because, her hormones are up and down after giving birth and, you got 5,000 different people telling you how to do things. And so she's struggling with this and struggling with that. And it's all very overwhelming at times. And when we got him home, the doctors told us that diaper rash was going to be horrible. And let me tell you, it was murderous. It wasn't horrible. It was murderous. And the kid had bleeding blisters on his butt because after the surgery, they lose control of their bowels, and it takes about 6 to 8 weeks for them to recover that ability to control. And so he just goes. He can't stop it. He's just all the time constantly going. He's always kind of, for better lack, he's always sitting in his own poop. So we have to change him probably more often than a normal baby. So anyways, that's, as you can imagine, created some horrible diaper rash. But we finally found some stuff to cure that, and it cured it within 24 hours, so he's a much happier, calmer baby now. And I can be honest with you, and I'm not trying to brag about any of this at all. I never once did I have any bad feelings that something was going to go wrong before surgery or that, he was going to die. Don't get me wrong. There were still some whispers of, what happens if. I had complete faith in whatever happened Father needed to have happen, and it was an amazing experience for me knowing that his strength was – having him stand next to me was the strength that I needed to get through it because I just knew everything was going to be okay. And even if something wasn't okay, we'd still get through it because it was the way he needed it to go. And that reminds me of the other thing. I'm not trying to be like, oh, I have kids now, so I understand everything about, what's going on now that I have a kid. I get it all, because I don't. I know that. But one of the first things that came to mind while I'm holding him and I'm just looking at him, I'm like, I can't imagine. It brings a whole new perspective to me of Father's love for us. Because I can tell you right now, it would be almost impossible for me to hand my son over to a bunch of strangers for them to spit on him, beat him, whip him, and nail him to a cross for anybody else. I wouldn't be able to do it. So having that experience, too, in the first couple of days brought my faith up a whole nother level. I can't really explain it other than the fact that it just brought my faith up a level because of now I have a different sense of feeling of what Father had to go through. I'll never have that full feeling, but I have a better understanding, I think, now. So that's about it.
Thank you. I will also share with you, while Atmos was going through this, I kind of pleaded with Father, and he said, I'm putting the final stages on Atmos. So I know for a fact that all of us have gone through a number of things the past few weeks. This is why, like Father said, he's putting the final stages on every one of us. We don't like it, but it is necessary. I'll also tell you, those of you that do have kids and you have watched your children suffer, you have a unique perspective, or even those of us that don't have kids but have watched someone very close to us suffer and you feel completely helpless and there's absolutely nothing you can do, you have a unique perspective as well as what Father had to go through. At the end of Jesus's turmoil, when he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? I'm not sure if I've ever shared this with you. It was because Father had to look away And Jesus saw Father look away from him because Father couldn't bear to watch him suffer anymore. That's why he was asking, why are you forsaking me? Brings a whole new perspective. And as Father promised all of us, we're going to be alone in times where we're standing by ourselves, but we will never be alone because he's always going to be there for us. Starlight, if you'd like to share, she went into eternity again, and they took her into a new realm again, so I asked her to share that with you.
That realm, I called it the murderer's realm, but it was the realm of that the Jews were in there, the ones that, I guess I don't know how to word it. He said that it was the ones that were, I guess, persecuting or the ones that created for Jesus to be,
They are the ones that plotted against him.
The one that plotted against him. So I knew that I needed to go into this realm, but I personally was struggling with it because I at that time, and I had to work through some things, and I had to grow as a person because I was filled with all sorts of judgment, and I'm like, how am I supposed to go into this realm and try to help people that are in there that in my perspective have done wrong and all that. So I had sat through a few services, and I was able to take away what I did, and I spent time with Jesus and Father, and was able to get a handle on what I was going to be walking into. So when I went in there, I had the energy was just, to be honest, they didn't want me in there. They didn't share, the souls did not want me in there. But I knew I had to go in there. I had to open this realm. It had to be open. So I had my team. I have the Warrior Brigade there, and then I have my team as well. So they were all surrounding me as I went in. And I said a few things, but I could feel that the souls that were in there were very angry and disgruntled, and they didn't feel as though that they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't understand why I was in there. It didn't matter. They didn't, they didn't want me in there. They did nothing wrong. So I actually felt them start surrounding my team. And at one point, a few of the souls had actually lashed out and hit. It went after a few of my angels, and while they were doing that, it was crazy. They actually hit me, and when I was physically in my body, I actually jarred in my chair, which was crazy. But so we went in, we were in there, and then at that point, I was like, we're done. Let's just go. We don't, we're not here to cause any fighting or, ill will or anything in here. We needed to do what we had to do. We opened it. Let's go. So we ended up leaving that realm. Once I left, I talked with Jesus, and it was like we kind of debriefed afterwards. And it just depends on whoever, and the different people who are in the debriefings, I guess, is the easiest way to put it. But Jesus had said that I did what I was supposed to do because I felt like I had, changed anything or I didn't do any, I just went in there and it was, I don't want to say it was pointless. He said, you did what you needed to do. He said, the realm is open and it's available, for them. Who knows what's going to happen? He says, but, you did what you needed to do. So I think that's about it, isn't it?
Yes.
From what I told you, okay. And should I share the next realm?
Sure. We can all start praying for it now.
Yeah, yes, because I'm going to need, I already know that it's going to be a rough one. I actually see three doors, and I'm not quite sure why there's three, but they might be the next three that I'm going into, but the next one, and I had no idea what I was going, you know, what the realm was going to be. And one night before I went to bed, I was, you know, I asked Father, I was like, well, what realm, you know, just trying to figure out what's next. And there was nothing, you know, and then all of a sudden I was, actually my dog outside with me, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know, just like hit the head, genocide. And I was like, genocide. I was like, I didn't even know what the word genocide meant. So I go back inside, I look it up, and so that will be the next realm that I'll be going into. So please pray, because that one's going to be, it's going to be interesting.
The nice thing about before she gets sent into a realm, Father and Jesus prepare her and spend a little alone time with her each time. And then the Chief Apostle Streckeisen and my dad prep her as well. The other thing they do with her, which is not the best thing, is when she's sleeping, they're taking her into eternity and Father's blocking her subconscious. And sometimes she's not even aware that they've already taken her to the doors to these realms. They've had her put her hand on them so that she's actually used to these energies before she gets in there. And I said to Father, well, why are you blocking her consciousness? And he said, because some of these realms that she's going to go into are so horrific that her mind would not be able to deal with what she's going to see. He said, so I'm protecting her for that reason. Now, the offside of what happens to her when that is going on is she wakes up completely sweaty and wet, like all of us did when Michael would come and train us. So now she has the experience of going through that almost weekly. So if you could pray for her that she gets the strength to keep her sheets dry on some level. But
I know when that's going to happen, because I get like a few hot flashes. Like before I go to bed, it's like they're prepping me. Okay, we're gonna take you tonight, and I'm like, oh boy, okay, here we go. You know, it's very strange.
Does anybody want to add anything at this point? Okay. I spoke with Blazar. His surgery is still scheduled for September 1st. I will tell you that I received a text from his wife. He's actually in Montana with the family this week on a little vacation. And she was very frightened because Jerry started speaking Arabic out of the blue when they were going to sleep one night, woke up, started speaking Arabic to her. He doesn't know how to speak Arabic. And then she felt Satan showed up inside of him and was mocking her and laughing at her. And Blazar was not even aware that any of this was going on because he's so wiped out and so tired and weak. So I had a conversation with his lead angel. His name's Trofall. And I gave him direct orders and some specific things he needs to do from this point forward. But I would ask everyone to continue to pray for Blazar. I know that he's very strong and he can handle this, but I also know that Jerry is still human and has said to me there are times where he's frightened. And as any human being would, when our lives are threatened, we have the right to feel that. His faith is not shaken. I mean, he's going through all the stages that any other normal human being would go through with a cancer that is debilitating and life-taking. So I'm just pleading on his behalf if everybody would please remember him special. Thank you. Tranquility is kind of under the weather. I asked her to give us an update on Tom, but she's not up to it, so I'll just tell you that he has been under attack, and so has she, for some time now. Father tells me these are the final stages of him honing Tom as well. We are still planning on being up there first week of September. If I don't find a job by the end of next week, then we can't go, because I don't have any vacation time coming with the company I'm at right now. So no pressure, Father, but I got to find a job next week. If that doesn't happen, then Starlight, Trisis, and I have already discussed that it's just not time for us to be in Canada to talk with Tom about this, but that we would make a different trip up there a little bit later in the year then, and I'm sure that Tom will be ready then to hear what Father has to say and accept the invitation. His role has already been defined. Father said that he will be working with Starlight in eternity. There will be 10 of you that work on the earth physically with mankind, and then 2 will work in tandem together in eternity. That's Father's plan. So I'm going to ask you to pray harder too, or remember Tom, and also Tranquility. I know that Tranquility is going back to school beginning of next week, I think, or soon after that. So it's going to be hard for her to deal with everything that's still going on with Tom. Because of last Sunday's service about Job, Satan took it upon himself to bring his lieutenants to go torment Tom, telling Tom that he should, you know, be angry at Father for doing all this stuff to him. And he really got to Tom to the point where he was actually gagging and choking and in the same amount of pain that he was 6 or 7 years ago when the demons were torturing him. And that just breaks my heart. And I went and pleaded with Father, and he said the same thing. These are the final touches that I have to put Tom on or through. So I would ask everyone to please remember the family, too. Plus, their middle son is getting married September, first weekend of September, over our holidays. So please pray for them because they've been tested as well, the bride and groom, and all the things that could go wrong when you're planning a wedding are going wrong. So I'm asking that you please remember them, too. Does anybody have anything else that they would like to add about anything at this point? Does anybody have any questions about anything? I don't care what the topic is. And no, the sky is not blue. That's just the way the light reflects through our atmosphere. Anyway. Okay, then. Our next meeting is on Friday, September 9th at 6 p.m. I appreciate that those of you who could make the call today, even though I changed it last weekend, that you called in today. I appreciate that. I try not to change the dates. I'll just be honest with you. The last 3 weeks of my life have been anything but pleasant, and I completely forgot that we had a meeting last Sunday until Starlight texted me on Friday and said, we got a team meeting on Sunday. And I went, oh, man. I was nowhere in any mental place to hold the meeting. I didn't even really prep for it either, so that's why I moved it to today. So I appreciate everybody's understanding. Some of you reached out to me and said, I hope you're doing better. I keep forgetting how gifted you people are and that I can't hide anything from you. It's really annoying, but I appreciate your love and support. I've asked Atmos to pray with me at the end of the prayer or at the end of the meeting today. So if we're all ready, then I will pray with you, and then Atmos will pray. Okay. Kind Heavenly Father, we come before you now. And we are all holding hands as we step before your throne. And we all now go down on one knee and we bow before you. Why are we holding hands? Maybe you, as my teammates, are asking that question. I will tell you why. Because we are one. And as we kneel in front of Father, we are not a separate group of people with our own individual ideas or thoughts. We are what Father has created in this time as a team that protects mankind and the bride of Christ. And it is something that is overwhelming if you were to stop and think about it for a moment. But we do not get overwhelmed because we know that Father has us. So as we are in this moment, Father, we look to you and we want to just say thank you first that you have brought us through all of the tests and trials, that you've already known that we can endure, that will not be something that we will fail, and that because of your love for us, you allow these things to happen. Jesus had his Good Friday. We are no different, but I will make this point that it feels like sometimes our Good Fridays are a heck of a lot longer than a 24-hour period of time. I'm just throwing that out there. You have told me on different occasions that we in this time are a lot stronger and tougher than any other time period. That's why you've allowed each one of us to be born in this time. I personally just thank you that we have air conditioning in this time, and that makes me smile. So I just want you to know, Father, that this team will serve you to whatever capacity you ask of us. It was not anything surprising that you shared with us today. I know in my heart that this team is convicted, that they'll stand by my side, that they'll serve along with me to serve you. I know that they think to themselves, how is this all going to come about? How are we going to talk to apostles of Jesus Christ? Why is anybody going to want to listen to us? And I have the simple answer. Because they stand in your power and authority, Father. This is not some game that we've pulled together to make ourselves feel special in any way or to single us out above all of mankind, that we can wave a flag and go, we're better than you. It is that we are the best servants that we can be, just like Jesus was, that we are willing to sacrifice our families and our loved ones to serve you in a capacity that you have not asked anybody else to do. And as most of our churches are tucked away in little neighborhoods and no one's ever heard of the New Apostolic Church, the chief guardians are one of the other best-kept secrets on this planet. And within a year, they will be revealed, and people will know that they exist. And we will step into the positions that you've created for us, Father, that you have molded us for, and we will become the names even more than what we currently are right now. And as human beings, Father, sometimes Satan comes at our lowest ebb, and he picks at us. He's such a coward. And he tells us, you're no one special. This is just a game. This is kind of stupid. Why are you doing this? We will poke him in the eye, and we will tell him to go away, because he is so desperate, you have told us. He is so desperate that he is willing to go out of his way now to cause as much problem as he can. Please provide your strength for all of us, Father. I bring the hearts of my team here and their concerns for any financial problems they're struggling through, health issues that they're having, employment situations, family issues, loved ones, whatever it is, and even faith issues. I lay them before your feet, Father, and I know that you will accept these concerns and you will take them. And Jesus, you gave us 30 times the strength today with the communion, and that is very appreciative. And the other day, on Thursday, you gave us all double the strength for the mantles of strength that you gave all of us too. So I wanted to say thank you and acknowledge that too with the team. Please provide peace for us now. We are going to now take what you've shared with us and hold it in our hearts over the next couple days. We will mold ourselves into the people that you need us to be. We will not question things anymore. We will not concern ourselves with what the future holds because, as you said, you've already seen us and we were victorious. That touched my heart big time. Thank you, Father, for all the love you share with us and all the things that you show us. If there is something I have forgotten, I pray you will cover it. I pray, Father, for our other teammates that were not able to be on the call, that they are connected. I pray also for Tom and the difficulties he struggles with and tranquility as well. Little Jeremiah, I bring before you. I also bring before you Nucleos and his financial situations that they struggle with where they are. And any other problem, Father, that any team member's family is having, I have you now see that. I bring it out, and I represent their concerns. According to you, will I ask these things and know how much we love you and appreciate you. And again, Father, if I've forgotten something, I know you'll cover it. And as always, according to you, will I pray these things. And thank you, Father, for this time with my teammates. We love them very much. Thank you for hearing us. Amen.
Amen.
Atmos.
Heavenly Father, what's left? What is there left to say but thank you? Most of all, for your strength that has brought this team together. You keep picturing you pulling each one of us as individuals from a fire and hammering us on an anvil because it feels like it at times. But we also feel you right there, right next to us. We feel the peace that comes from Jesus as he walks with us. We feel the comfort too from the Holy Spirit who points us in the direction you need us to go. We know, Father, you are the great physician. You can heal all things, whether it be financial, physical, whatever it may be. You are the great healer. And we just thank you now for bringing us all together in this place and in this time, for granting us the strength and the ability to do what we are doing now for you. This is not something any of us could have foreseen when we were younger. Never in our wildest dreams could we have ever thought we would be serving you in this way. We just all thank you now for that ability. We love you, Father, and we thank you for your Son, who he gave up for us. We love him very much, and we thank you for the guidance of the Spirit, who on a daily basis lights up the path that you put in front of us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Love you guys.
Love you too.
Love you.